Alice Waters looks at the United States and sees one overwhelmingly dominant culture, fast food culture.
It's down our highways, it's in our stores, it's in our restaurants, our movie theaters, our schools, our airports, our businesses, our homes. It's everywhere. Fast food culture has invaded our lives, and it's changing the world.
Every culture has a set of values, Waters explains, and fast food culture is no different. For example, uniformity. Waters says fast food looks, feels, and tastes the same every time.
You know, the hamburger that you get in New York should be exactly like the one you get in Paris. The soft drink that you get in Chicago should be exactly like the one you get in Dubai. And the beer that you like so much should be exactly the same wherever you go. Or there's something wrong with it.
Uniformity in our food masks deeper cultural issues, Waters says.
You don't even want to try anything new, especially if it looks different. You're afraid of it. Uniformity in the culture at large fosters the loss of individuality. All eggs should look alike. All houses should look alike. Everyone should wear the same clothes. Everyone should behave in a certain way, or you need to report them.
Fast food culture not only celebrates uniformity in food, but availability of food as well. This is the idea that we should be able to get what we want, when we want it, no matter where we are in the world, Waters explains.
You should be able to get an avocado in Switzerland in the middle of winter. You should be able to get Evian water in Nairobi. You should be able to get a peach in Bloomington in April. In April. Seasons stop mattering. What's indigenous to certain places becomes unclear, maybe even irrelevant. Local culture and the specialness of what's happening here and now becomes less important than the homogenized, fast food, get it whenever you want global reality, or in my view, unreality. Being present to what's going on around you is devalued. I mean, just look at how many people these days are looking at their smartphones while they're walking down the street. Sometimes I think they don't even know where they are.
Fast food must be available, and it must arrive hot on our plates almost instantly. But it's not just our food we want quickly, Waters says. We like everything to move quickly.
We lose our sense that the best things take time. Like growing food, or cooking, or learning, or growing a business, or getting to know someone. These days, if there's not instant gratification, we get frustrated. Time is money. How many cows can you slaughter in a slaughterhouse in a day? How many patients can a doctor see in an hour? How fast can you down your lunch?
But it doesn't have to be this way, Waters says. Fast food culture has an antidote. Slow food culture.
$5 of eggs.
This is so beautiful. I just can't get over the colors.
At the Bloomington Farmers Market, Waters delights in a carton of multicolored eggs. She points to a few of the eggs, which are green.
I've never seen green eggs myself.
You haven't?
No.
Well, they come from an Araucana chicken.
Look at, come over and see.
Sure, sure.
I mean, but it's not just green. I mean, this beautiful color of gray-green. But look at the shades of blue. Just almost blue-white and a little grayish one. And then there's almost a pink egg. And then these brown ones with tiny little spots on them, and then almost an orange egg. I mean, it's so brown orange, it's just exquisite. Anyway, this to me represents a kind of farming that is diverse, because they've got blackberries, spinach, popcorn, a little bag of popcorn that I'm taking home. I think I'm going to boil some of these eggs. Again, from my plane flight. It's hard to carry raw eggs. So lovely.
This is slow food culture. a richer, deeper culture, according to Waters. Slow food culture can be found at the farmer's market, in the community garden, and around the kitchen table. In slow food culture, we are encouraged to admire the speckles on an egg and the change of the seasons. Slow food culture, like fast food culture, has its own set of values.
They're earthbound values, agrarian values, that grow out of intimate, centrally engaged activities, like organic farming, and talking, and cooking, and making things with your own hands.
Ripeness is one of those slow food values that ties what we eat to the earth, Waters explains.
When something is ripe, it means it has reached its peak level. It has ingested all the nutrients, integrated and metabolized all the resources, and is ready to give. Naturally, like cherries and peas are most vibrant in the early spring, peaches and corn in the late summer. Some cheeses need time to ripen in the cellar, and dough is ready to knead only when the yeast has risen. Ripeness may sound esoteric, but it's a value that means that there's a right time for everything, and it's important to discern what that time is.
Waters says ripeness shows up in aspects of our lives beyond the dinner plate.
When a couple knows when it's time to get married, when an athlete feels it's the moment to compete. I don't think the Beatles would have electrified the world if it had not been the right moment in time, or Gandhi. You know, gravity has always been around us, but it took the ripe apple falling on Newton's head for mankind to finally discover it.
Ripe food and ripe moments also come in different shapes, sizes, and flavors, Waters says. She explains how slow food culture appreciates the diversity of nature and why variety makes our food richer and our world stronger.
I love all the sizes and shapes of carrots and tomatoes that have come into our diets. It's really my pleasure in cooking to have 10 different kinds of lettuces and be able to sort them and find out the tastes of each one of them. It makes not only my diet more flavorful, but more beautiful and more nutritious, because I'm understanding all the different kinds of grains, and often it makes my diet less expensive. With diversity, you start listening to music that you may never have considered before. You search out other people's point of view, and your world becomes richer. The other suddenly becomes your ally, your friend.
Once we appreciate ripeness and difference in our everyday lives, Waters says our senses awaken, and it becomes easier to recognize the importance of beauty. Beauty, Waters explains, is her favorite slow food value.
It's so missing in so many people's lives, and at the edible schoolyard, I realized that beauty is a language of care. And what I mean by this, it's beyond just the fact that a dish tastes good or a classroom is pleasant to be in. When things are beautiful, it shows students really that you're caring about them. And fast food culture tells us that beauty is expensive, that only costly things are beautiful. But all you need is that little bouquet, and students know that they're loved and respected.
Waters says that slow food values can change the world. But how do you start the movement when healthy organic food is too expensive for so many people? Waters says the key is to start the change in public schools, which she promotes in her project, The Edible Schoolyard.
I'm looking to the public education, to the school system that can reach every single child, or almost every single child. And we don't just want to serve them lunch. We want to serve them breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack. And I know that we can do this. And when children grow up with this different set of values, that things like gardens, I mean, my parents didn't have much, but they had a garden, a victory garden during World War II. And we ate out of that garden. We learned how to can. We learned everything.
Places such as Mother Hubbard's Cupboard in Bloomington and community gardens across the country help make good food accessible to more people, Waters says. The slow food movement has to be rooted in the community, and at the Bloomington Farmers Market, Waters explains the importance of community building to change the way we eat and live.
I know that I'm giving the money to the farmer, who's a friend of mine, and it feels really good to do this. But that's how you build community. It's everyday interactions with somebody where you build a friendship and you depend on each other. So it's a beautiful thing.
A shift towards strong communities and slow food values is only natural, Waters says, because these values are intrinsic to human nature.
We're born with them. They're part of our biological makeup at the very core of our essence. They just have been covered up and deadened by the assault of the fast food culture around us. And they're just waiting to be awakened and stimulated. And it just takes a spark. A taste of an apple pie just out of the oven. The smell of the first narcissus that I smelled the other day. All around the campus. Even the smile on someone's face that you've helped, or the feeling of a child sitting on your lap when you're reading to them. It's like water on parched earth or a field being nurtured back to life. I always say that it's like falling in love.
I
have to take, I've never seen this for sale.
Hello. Who can I help?
So I think I'll have one of those. Right, how much are those?
$3.50 a bundle or 2 for $6?
How about 2 for $6?
Alrighty.
And when we eat and live and teach the children in a slow food way, our lives and the planet become whole again, pleasurably and naturally. And that's why I call this a delicious revolution.
This revolution is necessary for the well-being of people and the earth, Waters says. Of course, it's going to require immense efforts to address the economic barriers to a slow food lifestyle, because fresh organic food is not accessible for everyone right now. Still, the hidden costs of fast food to the health of people and the planet make it more important than ever to change our culture, Waters says, and to introduce slow food values to future generations. For Cafe Indiana, I'm Hannah Boomershine.